The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome, Giants fans. You are listening to the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of the SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. On today's show, we will feature an interview that I did with John Kaminsky, defensive end for the University of Charleston, a player who has been impressing NFL draft scouts throughout the pre-draft process, player who could possibly wind up being selected somewhere in the middle rounds of the 2019 draft. Interviewing draft prospects is something we hope to do more of during the build-up to the 2019 NFL draft. Hopefully, we'll be able to talk to several more players who could wind up, you know, perhaps being members of your New York Giants later on this spring. Also, you know, would be remiss if we didn't congratulate the New England Patriots on winning Super Bowl 53. Don't know what you guys thought of the game. I'm not going to belabor, you know, whether it was an interesting game, a boring game. You know, whatever it was, you all have your own opinion of a 13-3 game. I was intrigued because it got down to each possession in the second half being increasingly critical. So, you know, just congratulations to the Patriots, 6 Super Bowls in the Brady, you know, Manning era, an incredible accomplishment no matter what you think of the Patriots, one that you would consider virtually impossible. The way that the NFL is today with free agency, with so much movement player movement, you know, from team to team, just incredible what the Patriots have accomplished, whether you like them, whether you hate them, and whatever you think of them, you have to recognize that what they've done is just an amazing thing, something that we will probably never see again. All right, Giants fans, let's get to the interview that I did with John Kaminsky.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
So let's talk a little bit. I know you've done a few interviews, and you know, I was reading through some of them, and I know you've probably told a lot of the stories about how you got to Charleston, you know, and all of that, and we'll get to that a little bit. But I wanted to ask you first. You went through the Senior Bowl now. What did you learn? What did you get out of that experience?
What did I learn? The biggest thing I learned, honestly, you know, I built up some confidence in my mind prior to it, but I really, I learned mostly that I belong, and I learned what it's going to take to be among the top of those, you know, the top 100 players in the country. You know, I could feel where I was at as far as, you know, the best to the worst, you know, good, right, being in the middle. So I could feel where I was at as far as that. I was able to gauge that. And then also, now I know exactly what it's going to take to become, you know, the best of that top 100. I could see the light at the end of the tunnel. Before, I was just, you know, I was kind of going into it blind. You know, I know these kids in bigger schools are better than, you know, Division II. But I didn't know how much better. You know, I knew they were bigger and they were faster, but I didn't know exactly how much. So basically the experience was I was able to learn how, you know, just how steep that competition was. So that was like the biggest thing that I got out of it.
You had
just to experience being on the field with those guys.
You had, I think, 3 days of practices plus the game. Was there a particular practice, a particular rep, a particular drill, you know, where it hit you that, you know, hey, I do belong here, you know, that I am one of these top 100 guys?
Yeah, so my first play, I'd say it was my very first play of practice. My very first play, I got up and, you know, here comes big Kansas State coming at me. You know, he's lining up, his leg goes strong, you know. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, here we go. You know, the moment of truth, you know.
That Risner?
Work either way, but obviously that in your mind, anybody from Division II is going to be like, okay, well, here's my chance. Here's where I'm going to really find out, you know, where I'm at and if I'm going to be able to hang. So rep one, Kansas State comes up to me, and I'm playing the five technique, outside shoulder to the tackle, and it's thrown away from me. And I listened to what my coach said, and I got into that tackle as hard as I could, and I put him right on his butt. So it was like that first play, I was like, all right, well, you know, I did this in Division II, and I just put this guy on his butt, so, you know, here I am. You know, I belong. I'm going to make some plays playing against this good competition. So it was really just that first play, that first practice.
And I think that's, if I'm not mistaken, that's the Risner kid?
Yeah, that is him. Yeah, Risner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if his legs got tangled up, but in my mind, I was... know that play. All I know is that I was running to the ball and he was on his back. So that first play was just the confidence builder.
Hey, take the credit, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, absolutely. It was a big confidence boost, and it basically fueled me for the rest of the practices. You know, I won my first rep, so you know, I there's more reps to be won, and it's possible that I can win reps. So it was really just that first play. Yeah, it was Risner. I recognize the name.
Nice. Nice. You obviously you matched up against a lot of these different, you know, a lot of these different tackles, you know, Risner and a few other guys. Is there a particular guy, you know, that you matched up against, you know, and you come away from the 3 or 4 days and you said, boy, this guy is really, really good.
Yeah. I don't know his name, but I think maybe you could know for me. So they only had the 2 deep at tackle, and I was playing the left end most of the week. You know, I had some reps, you know, on the right side a little bit and a little bit on the inside. But there's this kid, he was from Washington. I kid you not, he's probably pushing 6'7", definitely 6'6", and he was about 330 pounds. He was a Washington kid. But he was just so strong. He was so thick, and he was dense, and he was like, I don't know, he had Duke's feet. He could match my quickness. But on the other side, what I wasn't used to is how stinking strong this kid was. Even when I had him off balance, you know, he was able to fight my leverage and get was doing. So, yeah, it was, that kid really stood out to me. I mean, Risner, obviously, he was even more technically sound, but that Washington kid was just massive and strong. It was really fun playing against him.
I'll have to go back and look up the rosters and look up the name because I'm not sure who that is off the top of my head. But so I know your backstory a little bit, you know, coming out of high school and you know, being and ending up at Charleston as a, you know, as a kid who played, you know, quarterback, you know, and all of that, and being 215 pounds, you know, and landing there and being told all of a sudden that you're going to play defensive end. You know, just out of curiosity, what was your first thought when you saw defensive end listed, you know, next to your name?
When I saw what next to my name?
When you saw that they were going to ask you to play defensive end.
Oh, okay. Oh, at Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I saw it was actually, so I went into that camp thinking, okay, well, on the website they had, you know, they did their hype thing for all the freshmen coming in, and they had me at quarterback, /receivers, /strong safety, /linebacker. So I had no guard up for defensive line. I had no thinking about defensive line. You know, I'm kind of preparing myself for each position in my mind, like, okay, I might have to learn this, I might have to learn this. So when I showed up at orientation that first day and DN was next to my name, I mean, my head kind of turned around, you know, my stomach kind of flipped. I'm like, oh, crap, you know, like, defensive end, dude, I'm tiny. I'm 215 pounds. How am I getting, you know, this, that's so different. I've never played defensive end before. So I was a little like kind of shocked about it, but I was so open minded when I got to Charleston because they were my first offer, my only offer. So I was open minded when I went there. You know, I'm thinking, man, I'll be an equipment helper if I have to. You know, I just want to be on this college team. That was really my mindset. Maybe not to that extreme, but I was ready to do whatever it took to be on that team. So it wasn't like, oh man, hell with this kind of thing. I was shocked, you
mm-hmm.
know, but I was all for it.
And from what I, you know, from what I read and from what I understand, it took maybe into your second season before you really felt like, you know, I can play this spot.
Right. Yeah. Because that first year they redshirted me, obviously, and you know I was on the practice squad or whatever. So it took that year to adjust. I got my butt whooped on practice squad for a year, and then I had that fall to get better, played against some good tackles that we had, and then that spring worked on a lot of technical things, put on a little bit of weight, and then yeah, by that next season I was playing at a decent level, and then sophomore year came around, I was a second team all conference, and then that spring is really when it turned to another level. I became a first team all conference kid and you know, led the conference in TFLs and led the team in tackles. So it's just been stepping up every single year. I've gotten nothing but better. I haven't kind of stalemated any year. I've only improved since I've got to Charleston.
And do you feel like, you know, you're still, you didn't play the position until you got to Charleston. You're still sort of growing into it. Do you still feel like there's another level, you know, as a player that you can reach?
Oh yeah, I think there's probably five or six tiers above me where I'm at now. You know, I went in there with a blank slate. You know, so I had nothing. You know, I've developed over 4 years, but what I developed over my 4 years, you know, maybe a kid developed through high school. So, you know, that maybe they got all that experience. Because biggest learning I got was from the experience I had. So most of these kids, you know, they're going to college playing DN, they play DN in high school, there's all that experience. Then they take their game to another level. I think that I still need that stage, you know, to now I have the experience, now it's time to start learning, you know, a little bit more technical stuff that I can, you know, take it to that next level. And yeah, I don't even think it's just one more step. I think there's probably three or four tiers that I have to get to.
You think some of it at this point,
you know, through college at Charleston has been relying on athleticism, and now you really need to learn the finer points of it?
And yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I was kind of, I felt like I was mumbling. That's exactly how I'm thinking about it. You know, the kids that played the end, that played at Alabama played the end, you know, in their high school years, they were just relying on their athleticism. Then they get to that Power 5 school. Now they got to learn some technique. And I think it's analogous to me being at D2, being like those high school years, and now the pros being, you know, where, okay, now we got to start learning some technique to win in some reps. So, that's a good point.
So the one thing that's really interesting to me is you've gained over the 4 years, I think, what, 70 to 75 pounds, am I correct?
Yeah.
And, you know, I keep reading about your athleticism and all of those things. You know, when you gain that much weight over that period of time, how do you maintain that athleticism? Is there a trick to that with carrying, 15 or 20 extra pounds every year?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And if I think of my audience being, you know, kids in high school or kids in college that are listening, the biggest thing that I learned through experience was, so on top of putting on the weight, you have to consistently doing things to challenge your athleticism. So whatever that is, you know, for me, it was working the ladder, doing sprints, changing direction a lot, doing jumps, going and playing basketball a little bit, make sure that, you know, I'm still athletic on a basketball court, you know, box jumps, anything that challenges your athleticism. While you're gaining that weight, you shouldn't lose it. And I actually gained, in my eyes, I think I gained athleticism because I worked on those things. So it's not just working on getting bigger and stronger. It's on top of that, you have to couple that with, you know, working on your flexibility, you know, challenging yourself on the step ladder, you know, working your box jump, making sure your vertical stays the same, working to get faster. So it's not just weight gain. You know, the weight eventually comes, but if you can work on just keeping your athleticism, that's basically the biggest trick, is not to just put on a bunch of weight over summer, don't gain 30 pounds, and never get on the field to run or do any kind of cuts or any football-specific drills. That was like the biggest thing for me that I kind of realized over my 4 years.
And you're what, about 285 right now?
Yes, 285.
Is that about as far as you think you can comfortably go, or you think there's more that you could gain?
No, I think that I have about 25 pounds, 20 to 25 pounds that I believe I could gain and maintain athleticism. I kind of have, over my 4 years at Charleston, I kind of developed, I guess, kind of like a notion of myself, like knowing where my body's at and what it can handle. And I'm super light on my feet right now. You know, I'm as light as I've ever been at 285. You know, I was 285 at the beginning of the fall this past season, but I didn't feel like I feel now. I feel like I'm back to like 245. You know, I'm jumping out of the gym and, you know, I'm cutting like I'm 245 again. So I know that I can put on some weight. You know, that's a big thing that I think these NFL scouts are going to find appealing is, you know, I have that flexibility. I could stay where I'm at and stay the athleticism I'm at and work to become more athletic, or I can put on weight, go down on the inside, and maintain my athleticism. So, you know, I think that I have that wiggle room. I think that I could easily be 305, 310 and still, you know, run the same speed.
Nice. I imagine that, I read, you know, that you really like the weight room. You know, and obviously if you're going to put on weight, that's a big part of it. I imagine that it also has to do with changing your diet some. Can you talk a little bit about what you had to do in that area?
So I didn't do anything complicated. You know, I'm not like, I had buddies that counted their calories and ate the complex carbs at certain parts of the day. It wasn't like that for me at all. The biggest thing was making sure that, you know, when I got up in the morning, I didn't go to class without eating a meal. You know, I'm not going the first 3 or 4 hours of my day without food in my stomach. I'm making sure that I'm full before I even start my day. I'm heading to the cafe and I'm eating an omelet or two and eating some toast and drinking a couple cups of water, making sure that I'm full throughout the day. And then come lunchtime, maybe I'm a little full from breakfast, but I'm still at And then basically maintain that throughout the day. You know, don't go to bed hungry. I would eat, you know, a bunch of peanut butter and jellies before bed, you know, because that's, you know, what my allowance, you know, allowed me to do, you know, financially. But, yeah, it was just making sure that I was full all the time. You know, I can't say that I had a strict diet. You know, I don't want to lie to you and say I did. You know, I would eat fast food and go pack on some, you know, Big Macs or whatever I had to do to put a lot of calories in my system. It kind of forced my body to grow on top of lifting heavy.
So, you know, obviously the website that I run covers the New York Giants, and the Giants play, you know, they play kind of a hybrid defense. They play, you know, 4-3. They play their base, they consider 3-4, you know, but they play a lot of 4-3. Would you consider yourself, you know, really a 3-4 defensive end, or do you think that, have you been asked, you know, to do any drills, you know, standing up, you know, playing as an edge guy at all?
You know, I played in a 3-3-5, which is really kind of like a, you know, it's not used in the NFL. Very few teams use it, you know, Charleston and our big brother WU down the road. So I don't really know. You know, I'm still learning the 4-3, you know, and I'm still learning the 3-4. So as far as a body type goes, you know, I haven't limited myself in my mind to either the 3-4 or the 4-3. I think that I am able to manipulate my body and be coachable enough that I could, you know, make each defense work for my body, whether it be down on the inside or standing out on the edge. I haven't had any drills that have, you know, pushed me to one or the other. I've heard talk about me playing in both systems, so I'm kind of keeping an open mind with that, and you know, whatever team decides to take me, I'm willing to manipulate my body, gain weight, lose weight, become more flexible, become faster, whatever I have to do to fit into that system.
Nice. And I just wanted to clarify, I think you played in the Senior Bowl. And prior to that, was it the NFLPA, the Collegiate Bowl, that you also participated in?
No, I actually declined that so that I could take another week to train and get into that Senior Bowl.
Okay. And you didn't do the Shrine Game either?
No.
No, okay.
I invited to both, but I had to decline because, you know, that was just a good decision in my mind to take a week to train, an additional week to train and become ready for that Senior Bowl.
And you do have a Combine invite. Invite, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What, you know, coming out of the Senior Bowl, do you think there's more that you need to prove at the Combine?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, I was kind of limited in my reps at the Senior Bowl. You know, I have a lot of practice film, and you know, I got maybe 20 reps in the game, but I showed my hustle and, you know, my coachability and all that, but, you know, my goal now is to show that I stand out athletically, you know, in the top 10% in all these drills. So, you know, that's the big thing. You know, a Division II guy, you're going to want to stand out in little aspects, you know, here and there, you know, such as the Combine. So if I can stand out, you know, in the top 10%, top 5% of all my drills, run a really good 40, good shuttle, you know, jump high, bench a lot, you know, yeah, I definitely think I have something to prove because I need to do something to keep my name at the top of that list, you know, moving forward to increase my draft stock, you know, relative to the other defensive ends.
And I know a lot of guys, you know, they have specific places and people that they train with. Where are you, you know, training at this point?
I'm in Naples, Florida, and my trainer is Derek Touchet. He's worked with several NFL guys that have came and gone. So he's really awesome. We're doing combine specific stuff right now. And then I'm working specifically with Sutton Smith, who was a defensive end at Northern Illinois. He got a late invite to the Senior Bowl, so he came over there with me. And then Michael Walker, who's a receiver, punt return kind of guy. So I got two guys training with me, and then my trainer, Derek, is really awesome. So, and I'm down here in Naples, Florida, so it's beautiful, and it's really easy to stay motivated.
Nice. It's a whole lot warmer there than it is up here in upstate New York. Hey, John, I really
Pardon me? Yeah, I said sorry about that. My wife's up in Ohio, so
Oh man.
I kind of feel the pain. This is a dream come true. I feel like I'm on vacation right now. So.
Yeah, I bet she's not too happy with you at the moment.
No. She doesn't want to see any of my Snapchats or anything of the palm trees right now. So.
Oh, hey, John, I appreciate your spending some time with me. Good luck to you. If you happen to land with the Giants, hopefully I'll get a chance to talk with you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Okay, our thanks to John Kaminsky for spending some time with us. He's a nice kid. Seems like a young man who's come a long, long way since his high school days. Guy who has what seems to be a future in the NFL. We haven't done a profile on Kaminsky yet at Big Blue View. Most indications seem to be that he's probably a mid-round pick. I don't know if he's a guy that that the Giants might target or might take if they're in position to do so. But he's a name to watch as the 2019 NFL draft approaches. Okay, our thanks to all of you for listening. Please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio on all of your favorite podcast applications. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.